This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 333.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helpsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, looking twice as good as they did before, but oh, how they looked before. Keith Helpsley and Nathan Caldwell. If these guys were in the woods, squirrels would drag them up a tree.
We don't get a lot of chance to do this live, so let's meet the host.
Yeah, well, here we are, live in Church House Studios, and this is your host, Keith, and joined with me today. I forgot your name. Oh.
I hadn't been here in so long, can't remember what I'm called.
The other guy.
Yeah, that's me!
That's how our announcer does it sometimes. They'll say, here are your hosts.
Please welcome What's His Name and the other guy.
No, this is, of course, Nathan Caldwell. And I have been a while since we have been in studio, off the road, however you want to put it.
Not a pre-recorded collaboration effort.
Right. It's pretty good. It's good to do that.
This is a throwback to our early days. We used to open the mic and just whatever came out.
Yep. So I want to spend a few minutes meeting the hosts, but about 10 o'clock, we're going to have to switch to our main topic because at 10:30, sure. I have a guitar lesson. So.
All right. We can have it on the call. I'll let you.
No. I'm doing it virtual. I'm going to be using the...
Well, you can do a three-way call.
Huh?
We could do it as a three-way Zoom call, right?
We don't do Zoom. He does Google Duo, and
I guess Duo kind of eliminates the trio. Huh?
Yeah. Yes. Especially when David's involved.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
But anyway,
meet the hosts.
So, all right, for first of all, I'd like to say I know that other than the Luke drama, hasn't been a lot of audio drama out, and I just want to assure people who care, which I hope is somebody out there, that there are more coming. Stronghold has gotten a new narrator. We love, I enjoyed having Julie Westlake Suter on the show. Unfortunately, being busy, she's got other jobs. She's got a real life, and sometimes that real life takes over. So I've gotten another narrator. In the process of getting that narrator, who, by the way, is Frank Guglielmelli, who plays John Kelly on Stronghold, also Admiral Don Collins is also Frank Guglielmelli, and those two characters are connected. I won't go too spoily, but anyway, so being that John Kelly is part of the Aqua Council, I put a new spin on the episodes, and John Kelly is now the narrator. So Frank Guglielmelli is narrating as John Kelly. So that should be interesting. So I rewrote the script for that. I didn't have to rewrite a whole lot, but I did rewrite what I wrote. And so we should have fun with that. That should be good. I don't need any new parts from you. But of course, now for those of you who don't know, Keith plays one of the main characters. He plays Optic, Mike Pat on Stronghold, a person who has the power to become invisible. So,
yeah, and for listeners who may be a little bit newer to our podcast here, of course, you do other things besides. We have, of course, a sermon podcast here on the Laugh Truth Network, and but you have a comedy thing you do once a week, and you have these audio dramas that you work on. And now those are all posted at Anchor. Is that correct?
Now, the comedy is posted on Anchor. The audio dramas are posted here as part of Lion's Den Audiobook and Drama Podcast. Now, here's the thing. The audio dramas, let me put it this way. I'm a Christian. And you know that because I wouldn't be on the show if I wasn't. Not because we're opposed to having non-Christians on the show, because I'm the co-host. But point is, you hear people sometimes go, well, your Christian life shouldn't affect the rest of your life. I am just the opposite. My Christian life affects everything, and I think it should. And so you will see Christ sometimes in the background, sometimes blatantly, but you will see it, him, and the effects that he has on me in my writing in those dramas. So...
Now, just to, along that same line, this morning, in fact, I was listening to a podcast where the discussion was on Christian movies and how sometimes horrible they are. They're not really done well.
And, yeah, I never figured that out. I happen to enjoy Christian movies. I happen to think they're great.
But I guess the point I'm kind of getting to is some of the gist that they were talking is if only you could just make a movie that had Christian overtones, not something blatantly Christian that you try to dramatize. And I think that's what you do with your superhero audio drama.
I guess.
Is you just write a superhero story and it has a very Christian flavor to it.
Well, in season two, I mean, the gospel is plainly presented to one of the characters. So, I mean, it's
right.
You know, it's I'm not ashamed, as Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. It is indeed the power of God unto salvation. But not everything. I mean, you won't hear a sermon in every episode, you know, it's going to be an adventure, or at least that's what I strive for. Crimson Garnet, again, another one with a Christian flavor, but it's not, it's not strong. You aren't going to hear, you know,
it's not meant to be an object lesson in, no, open your Bible to chapter 7.
Right, exactly. Now there are times where if I see an opening, I might throw something in there. But
well, our Dangerous Christian audio drama, which is it's out there slowly in progress.
Right.
The idea there is kind of the same thing, is to have something of I'll call it a superhero type of a story. But in my opinion, it's probably a little more overt.
Oh, yeah.
Intentionally. It seems every episode at least has either a hint of or mention of a Bible reference.
Right. Often read by Tiffany Lott, who plays Sword.
Yeah. And does a very good job. And I know there's some stuff coming with that soon, but it's kind of a drawn out production. Somebody actually asked me, do I have all the book written, because they want to read the book and see what happens. I'm like, well, it's meant to be a serial. It's serialized. It happens one drama at a time. I mean, I do have a couple of, I guess, episodes written ahead
of time. The story itself is pretty much done. Scripting it,
there's a couple of scripts written ahead,
right?
A lot of it is it's very produced.
Scripting it has not been hard for me because most of it's already written. I rarely have to add anything. All I do is put who says what and throw it out there.
But yeah, you know, and of course we do our Luke drama, which I need to check. I think I have two options for the next script. I'm flipping the coin to see which way I want to go with it.
Oh, okay. You're not ready for me yet. Good, because I didn't do anything yet.
No, I have one version of the script sort of kind of written and the other idea for another version of it. I'm just trying to pin down which direction I want to go. But, you know, I guess in our...
You're trying to figure out if you want King James Version or...
Well, I purposely chose, when we actually quote from Scripture, I chose the ESV because
it's
a modern language. And I, of course, our actors are speaking English because they wrote it in English.
Right.
They're not speaking Greek. They're not speaking Aramaic. Because of that, I wanted the Scriptures also to be in a modern language that people would understand. We could have did it in King James, but I
was playing with you because you said you have two different versions of the script.
Yeah. Well, one of them actually is written in Greek. Another one. It'd be a challenge for our voice actors. Ha ha.
Then we had an NAR guy come up and say that God told him that we should use this other one. So we're looking. No, I'm just kidding.
but yes, I know from our download stats that our audio dramas, it's not our most downloaded type of show. People that I've gotten the feedback from really enjoy them. But I guess the reason why I like to do those, whether they get good downloads or not, is, you know, part of why I want to do a podcast is, of course, is to be instructional, informative, have Bible teaching, and talk about the gospel. But I also want to be entertaining.
Right.
I don't want to be like a dusty thing because... granted, we're on Christian podcast community.
Right.
We're listed in various Christian things on iTunes and whatnot, but it doesn't mean we can't have some fun along the way and be entertaining. Something that someone says, "Hey, this is good." I hope, but I'm going to share it with somebody who maybe isn't the Christian. Some of these goofballs talk about audio dramas and stuff. And that's why, like, we started up our On the Road podcast.
Yes.
That's why we that's why we do the opening and closing the way we do, because it's meant to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. Right.
I think on one of the closing ones, and maybe I should start inserting it more often, is I think the Retrobot at the end said it, that no real traffic violations were incurred in the making of this episode. Because that's just a gimmick that we use to close the show, of course. But it's to have fun because
no real passengers were harmed in the making of this.
No. Now, when we get to our main topic, we'll see that there is a time and place for having fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I want to, when we get there, if you want to find a place in your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7.
While I'm looking that up, do you want to talk? Is there anything you have an update about?
Wow. Well, I've just been trying to stay on top of a regular podcast schedule through the summer. Summers, of course, is a busy time for people. Vacation Bible school, summer camps, all kinds of family events and holidays.
If you're glad summer's over, raise your hand. It's fun, but it's exhausting.
And it's just difficult to say, hey, Nathan, let's record this Wednesday. It's like, oh, I can't because of whatever.
Yeah.
And it's in the past, we've pre-worked some things. Like we had our series on the Messiah that we've originally did, and then we actually reran it a couple summers ago. Sometimes we can rerun episodes out of the vaults, as it were. But this summer, I've been trying to do something a little more upbeat, spontaneous, I guess you might say, keeping, me talking into a mic every week, whether it be Hey, Nathan, what's your ideas on this passage? Okay, thanks for the recording. And I'll splice things together.
Right.
Which, of course, is how we typically do our Truth Exposed with our guest host, J. Vernon McGee.
Who is no longer with us.
Yeah, he died in, I think, 1988. He's been gone for quite some time. But he does have a five-year Bible study plan. If you listen to his episodes, you'll track through the Bible in a five-year span. And there's, his ministry is still out there through the BibleMinistries.org, TTB.org, I should say.
Yeah.
And they still, it's Monday through Friday, they'll still post his old radio sermons and cycle through. They're all freely available through iTunes. The look up through the Bible on iTunes, and every one of his lessons are there. And all I do is I just kind of clip out the verses we're focusing on and just grab his commentary on that. I don't usually have to edit very much, but once in a while I will.
What is our main topic?
Main topic.
Well, I wanted to look, as mentioned, at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We could do the whole chapter, but I don't think we have time. It's 29 verses.
Where do you want to focus on?
We'll just start with verse 1 and go as far as we can.
Okay.
Hopefully, let's try to get up to at least verse 8 or 9. If we go further, that's fine. If we don't, then we'll do what we can. Because as Ecclesiastes is, it is poetry. The one thing about poetry, whether it be biblical or modern poetry, is the poet can really pack a lot of meaning into a few words.
Right.
And that's why I don't necessarily want to do the whole 29 verses, because I don't want to fly through it. I want to kind of walk through, because there are some contrasts here that I think are very important and speak to, you know, the day and times that we're currently living in, with all the political upheaval and worries about COVID and vaccines and masks and all manner of hysteria. And it's just good to look at the big picture. What was that? Well, we started our On the Road discussion last week, talking about what's important. It's the big picture. The biggest decision anybody could make, it concerns where you are for eternity.
Right.
And if you start with that, and then back into, you know, our lives in this temporary world, you're getting your priorities straight. Trying to find my Bible here. Did you want to just read one verse at a time and we'll discuss? Because it has a balance. It's kind of like Ecclesiastes 3, where it's like, there's a time for this and a time for that.
Okay.
Time for this. So there's some back and forth on some on issues here.
All right. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, I got to say, on the surface, that seems counterintuitive.
It seems very gloomy.
Yeah.
Because it's better that you die, that you're born. Well, how can you die unless you are born? So being born is important.
But
so a good name, that's your
character,
character, that's right. Who you are. If you say, like, in the name of, you're talking about in the authority of. So it's better to have a good name than to have some kind of a feel good lubrication applied to a boo-boo or something. So it's better to, I guess, have good character and avoid being wounded than to be wounded and have to be healed over it.
And it's better, yeah. And
now the theme about birth and death in these opening verses.
Hold on. I have something to say about that. Actually, JFB from Commentary Critical and Explanatory on the Whole Bible, which is a mouthful, has to say, he says, basically, if I'm reading this correctly, the day of his death is far better than the day of his birth. And he references Philippians 1:23, who says, where Paul says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So, you know, if we have a good character, by the way, the only way we can truly have any kind of righteousness is through Christ. And I think that's, you know, by trusting God. And I think that's what Solomon would be referring to when he says the day of your death is far better than the day of your birth, because when you cross into eternity, if you know Christ, heaven is waiting for you. Right. And it is far better than anything that you've had here on earth. What was you going to say, Keith?
Well, I was just going to again mention about the birth and the death. It's, you know, saying it's better, far better is the death than the birth, and this theme goes on to these verses. So I think I'll just leave it sit there and we can just continue on reading.
All right.
Especially because the way verse 2 opens up.
Well, he says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." You know, JFB has the idea of, we're talking about excessive feasting. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to, you know, have a, and now we're not talking about an, I'm not necessarily talking about an alcohol party here. I don't know about that. But as far as just, you know, having a good meal with family and friends, and it's big and it's giant, kind of like a Christmas party. Hey, that's great. Right. Not sure you want to do it every day though. You know,
well, over the weekend, a niece of mine just got married. And, of course, you have a wedding, you have a big feast, a lot of people are dancing and partying and whatnot. Everyone's been to weddings. I won't have to go into more detail than that. You know.
Right.
It's fun. And you get to see family you haven't seen in a while. But have you ever noticed when you go to a funeral, whenever you go to the house of mourning, you tend to have more people show up. I whenever my dad had passed away, I saw aunts and uncles that I hadn't seen in decades. I saw cousins that I hadn't seen since I was a kid. They didn't come to my wedding. They didn't come to my brothers and sisters' weddings. And whenever their kids had those things, for various reasons, I didn't go. But whenever someone dies, it's like, it's more of an incentive, because whenever there's a wedding, there's a more life event. Say we can just go to something else that's coming down the pike. But whenever there's something like a funeral, that's the end of the story for that person. And it's like, you know, I better, you know, pay my last respects, as it were. And so sometimes the gravity of that, again, reminds us of, where are we going to be? Because we're dead for a lot longer than we're alive.
Yeah.
Well, where are we going to be? And the gravity of that, it really can strike and impact more than the feasting.
Another thing he says is a thankful use of earthly goods is right. But Solomon felt like, and I kind of agree, too much feasting is what the writer says, dangerous to piety. In other words, your spiritual life is affected. And this is something that Solomon has experienced on his own.
Oh, yeah.
And he, the writer, JFB, he references Job, and in Job, I want to say it was the first chapter, where
he talks about his sons and daughters.
Right. Yeah, they're out there feasting and they might do something wrong.
And so therefore he sacrificed on their behalf.
Right. So that's kind of the picture there.
Because when you're happy and you're feasting, you might, you know, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
How many times if you have a light heart, and I don't drink alcohol, but, and I don't think you necessarily have to, sometimes you get loose.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking, you don't have to drink necessarily to get loose, but sometimes you're having such a good time.
Maybe you're just joking around and you tell a joke and you hit the punchline and it goes like a lead balloon. It's like, uh-oh. I shouldn't have said that one.
That's it. It's a and you know, it's like you've gone too far. You were free. You felt good. You felt confident because you were with your friends, and you made a joke you really shouldn't have made. You did something that you now regret, and so I hope people can see what we're referring to. I'm trying to make sense here.
Well, three kind of transitions with that thought about having a little bit too much fun. It says sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is set, a heart may be happy. So even though you're going through a hard time, you can still have a joyful heart. You know, happy and sad are like two sides of the same coin. Hey, you flip the coin, sometimes it comes up happy, sometimes it comes up sad. But joy is something that you carry in your heart.
Joy is very internal. It's different.
If I believe you fast forward to Galatians 5, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing is, there's been times in our life, in my life and my wife's life, where people just say, I don't know how you guys do it because you guys don't have any luck at all. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong for you guys. And yet we still have a joy because of being Christians, being connected to God and having God as a resource. And I think that right there is kind of a spark under all these kind of almost depressing lines that Solomon has written here so far. We're talking about being better to be in the house of mourning, and having a face that is set. I suppose that would mean set in stone, like flint or something.
Or straight faced, right. Not, yeah.
You may look serious, but hey, you're happy on the inside. You're doing all right.
Right.
And verse 4 kind of keeps this theme going. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure.
Now this is interesting because I just got another thought about it. It did not technically say mirth and pleasure are foolish. What it said is the wise man is in the house of mourning while the fool's having a good time.
Right. And even though the wise man is in the house of mourning, he has his face set in somber tones. He has a spark of joy on the inside. He doesn't have to live in the happy house to be happy.
And I think there are a lot of people out there who that is their motivation in life.
You got to be happy.
Yes.
You got to do that next drug, get that next drink.
That's what I was going to say is they turn to substance, they turn to whatever it takes for them to be happy. And it's almost a drug to them. And so they use drugs to get it.
Because if you're going to attempt to live in that happy place, and you try to feed that, then it does become foolish. And I think the author here kind of implied that already, and he will more as these verses go. But if you're going to set up camp, as it were, to live, it's better to live in, you know, this somber, mournful place, and internalize, you know, joy, internalize happiness. Because, you know, there's a thing they used to say in the military: you get in trouble, you can take away my rank, you can take away my pay, you can't take away my attitude.
Mm.
You know, now of course that's usually because someone did something wrong and they have a bad attitude. But if you put it on its head and look, hey, I have a good attitude. What if our government says, you, because you're a Christian, you are now a domestic terrorist. You're going to go to that gulag right over there.
They're getting close to it, aren't they?
They seem to be. There are people in this country right now who want to do that. But, you know, they can kick me out of my house. They can drag me to this place. They can take away whatever creature comforts I might have. But they can't take away the joy I have in Christ. They can take away your Bible.
That's right.
But they can't take away those verses you have locked in your head.
Right. It's another good reason to study, isn't it?
And I may not be very good at memorizing scripture verbatim, but things pop in there when right. they need to.
Verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. How many times, and this is, oh my goodness, you've got somebody who is trying to help you and you know, well, you need to do it this way. You shouldn't do it that way, that you're going to get hurt. You need to do it this way. Or you have this other guy over here that says, hey, you're great. You're the best thing ever.
Come on, happy lemmings, join me. There's a cliff right over there.
Right. My point is this, there are people out there who are going to try to lure you with what? Words?
Come on, how come you had to be that way? Don't you know that there's more than two genders? How come you had to be goodness. That way? Why can't you just let homosexuals preach in your church? How come you had to be that way? Why can't you insert whatever society demands now?
Right.
So this is what the happy person is trying to do. This is what the song of fools is, the phrase that's there.
Gives me the feeling of the itchy ears. The guy that's speaking to itchy ears. The guy who, like one preacher put it, told you something that you like to hear, even though you knew it was deep down, it was not true. You still did it. You still listen to that person because it was what you wanted to hear. Oh, yeah. And that's the song of fools to me. It's the way I look at it.
Yeah. It's a song that plays into that foolish, destructive, hey, live in my happy house attitude. And it's like the realistic person, the wise person knows that, you know, there's no good end for that. And I'd rather be, you know, hedge my bets and be conservative and stand over here, hold the cards close to the vest, toss in another cliche. And just let y'all just self-destruct. Just keep me out of it, right?
There are kids now that occasionally you'll get on to them and they'll be like, why'd you have to get on to me? And the question is, well, what do you want? You want to live life with no consequences whatsoever? Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. And the problem is you've got people out there that are talking like there are no consequences to actions, but there are.
Oh, they don't want to pay the consequences that are their due.
Right.
There's people who do criminal things because, hey, even our nation has a criminal code that says, if you do this, you deserve that.
Right.
Here's your fine. Here's your jail time. Oh, no, I'm a good person. Don't you recognize? I'm just doing my happy house living over here, singing my song of
fools.
Fools. You should just let me go. All right. Just look the other way. Well, no, the law says, okay, this is the law. You broke it. this is what the consequence is. We can't lift that. But people, Keith, expect to break the law and to get off the hook.
Keith, you may see me as guilty, but I identify as an innocent person.
Yeah, there we go. Make a T-shirt. We should have Isaac or somebody makes a T-shirt like that, and we can put it onto our Life Truth store page, which we do have one out there. People don't know. We had a summer of kids a couple of years. I think Isaac wanted to make some stuff to put out there. Now, verse 6 kind of turns up the heat in a literal way.
Oh, really? For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity.
So, hey, it's good to laugh. Like we open up, we like to entertain. It's okay to be entertaining. It's okay to have a good laugh. But there's a time for laughter and there's a time to get down to work.
Right.
I laugh and joke with my kids all the time when they're growing up. And I would tell them, hey, a joke is a joke, but it has to stop. You know, if you see somebody, you tell a joke and you see their face fall, you just went too far.
Right.
It needs to stop. You need to go apologize. And it's time to get back to serious again.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, they've always held pretty close to that. I won't say that they've been perfect about it. Neither have I, for that matter. But that's the thing. But, you know, the laughter is fun. Laughter is good. And it can be warming, just like thorns will warm a pot. But how long does that pot stay warm? Only as long as those thorns last.
Right.
How long will that laughter warm you? Only until it's not funny anymore when someone gets their eye poked out. You know? And again, big picture. Where are you going to be in eternity?
Right.
Will your momentary laughter and mirth and foolishness get you anywhere beyond this life? It may make you create your comfort better, but it's not going to get you past the grave.
Let's see. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart.
In my version, it says a bribe destroys the heart.
See, that makes a whole lot more sense. So hold on.
Now, mad can mean two things. It can mean you're driving me mad. I'm going crazy. Or it could mean mad as in angry. Now, I don't have what the Hebrew word is that derives that.
JFB,
I'm going to go with angry.
JFB says this is... let's see. It's connected to Ecclesiastes 7:4-6. It says, the sight of oppression perpetrated by fools might tempt the wise to call in question God's dispensations and imitate the folly equivalent to madness described in 7:5-6. Or I might be reading that something to that effect.
Right. Well, my initial thought on this, of course, that word oppression, where have we heard that word these days?
Oh, yeah.
You're racist. You're the oppressor class. You're the oppressed class.
Right.
This whole illogical thing out there, racists try to push as normal. And the thing is, any kind of oppression, if you're a wise person, of course you will be angry over that.
Yes.
Of course it will drive you mad. It'll drive you crazy over that, because it's not right to see someone be oppressed or to be oppressed.
It appeals or calls on our sense of, I'm going to say the word and just know I'm talking about the real thing, not the social thing, okay? It appeals to our sense of justice. When someone is truly oppressed and they don't deserve it, we look at that and go, what in the world's going on? It makes us mad.
Why are you picking on that guy? I think I may have said it on the podcast before, it's probably been a long time ago. Whenever my kids were young, we went to the St. Louis Zoo and we're just hanging out. And from a distance, my number two son saw a couple of kids just picking on each other. I could tell that they were just joking, getting each other in a headlock or shoving each other around. Well, the one kid was bigger than the other. And my son, all he saw was a big kid pushing around a little kid. So he runs over there and tries to break him up. And of course they turned on him. Mm. And he just, what happened? And you have a good heart. You saw somebody being oppressed and it made you mad. But the truth is you didn't see all the picture.
Right.
Now, I guess the point there is when you do see an oppression and injustice, it does make you upset. If you have a sense of God's justice, and now I'm not exactly sure how that would link to a bribe corrupting the heart. I guess if someone was to pay you to look the other way,
right, that's injustice.
Then that would make
so it'd be the opposite,
righteous justice into injustice.
It's like it's almost. They're almost counter opposites. It would be someone getting in trouble for something that didn't do. And then on the opposite side, it's somebody not getting in trouble for something they did do.
Right. So let's say someone is oppressing someone and, oh my gosh, you're picking on me. You're saying that, I didn't do anything wrong. You shoved me around. Well, in that case, the law, we'll say, should step in and set things right. But what if the guy was pushing you around because maybe you did, swipe the kid's candy bar or something? I don't know.
My Uncle Benjamin says, you didn't see that. So.
Yeah, and that's it. That's what the bribe does. In this case, your uncle is somebody, hey, I trust this guy. And so your trust itself becomes a bribe to, he said it was okay. Well, I guess it was okay.
Hey, by Uncle Benjamin, I meant Franklin on the 100.
Oh, yeah. and even more so he's clarifying that slang term in case there's listeners who also didn't quite get it like me.
I'm sorry.
I was kind of going to go there next anyway.
Okay.
If somebody was to grease the skids with something a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
To look the other way. But in verse 8, we're coming kind of full circle here.
Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient spirit is better than the proud spirit. Now, I get the patient spirit being better than the proud spirit. That's easy. But better is end of a thing than the beginning.
Well, and it is difficult to understand, but the way I think of it is this is the first week of school.
Mm-hmm.
The very first day for us was last Monday. This is the very first week of school. But you know what's better? In 9 months from now, when the last week of school rolls around, then my kids will advance from, say, fifth grade to sixth grade, from,
right,
10th grade to 11th grade. So the end of the matter is better because you have endured, you have advanced step by step.
Which has to do with your patience.
Right, because, every day appears the same. What did you do at school today? Nothing. How about today? Nothing. Well, after 9 months of doing nothing, guess what? You will have done something.
Right.
And you will have passed the school year.
Right.
You know more now at the end of the year about mathematics and reading than you did when you started the school year.
It's the same with tribulation. It's the same with trouble. And I can see that better is the end than the beginning. And you do see that with patience, God does see you through.
One thing that I would add to that is that when you're in the middle of it, like I said, one day appears much like the day before, and you don't see the advance with every little toehold. So you know what? At least try to enjoy it. You know, try to enjoy it, the journey while you can, because at the end of the year, you'll be done with that journey.
Yep.
And it's a journey you can't get back. You can't go back and relive that year.
Right.
Now, I've had some kids who tried, who flunked out the grade. I liked the fifth grade so much, I'm going to do it again. But you can do that again, but it won't be the same year. You'll be with different kids, with a different teacher. So, yeah, the end is better, but the journey has merit too. And I would say, hey, you know, enjoy some laughter. You know, enjoy some crackling thorns under the pot along the way. Mm-hmm. But don't let that substitute getting down to business
and right.
getting the job done when it's time to do the job.
First done says, oh, sorry.
I had a boss one time who, it was, you answered the phone. Your phone rang, you had to answer it. You dealt with a customer. But he says, you know, sometimes it gets slow. And you're not on a call like, you know, you hang up and there's a call, hang up and there's a call. There's times when you might have, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes in between phone calls. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you want. You want to surf the web. You want to learn a new skill. You want to read how to do, you know, Ubuntu server setups. Whatever, knock yourself out. But when the phone rings,
right.
you got to stop. You got to stop that game you're playing. The phone comes first.
Right.
Anyway. Well, in verse 9, we'll just read that, and we'll call that our conclusion, because that kind of concludes our thought here.
All right. Be not hasty in spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Kind of explains itself.
Yeah. Don't be quick to rush in and be a fool.
Anger can cause you to do some things you don't want to do.
I'll go ahead and wrap up the show while I got this thing going. And
hold on. I got to plug in my phone here.
All right. And since Nathan had to hop off, we will take a quick pause with some words from the Christian podcast community right here.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Chad, and you are listening to The Way Radio. To be freed from the cult of Alcoholics Anonymous and from addiction simply through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was introduced to the concept of God through Alcoholics Anonymous and then walked steadily toward the gates of hell without any clue that that's what was happening to me. And I just love that quote because it encapsulates so well what I've been trying to tell people for years about the dangers of Alcoholics Anonymous. So thank you for listening to The Way Radio. You can find us on the web at thewayradio.net. If you'd like information on Recovery Reformation, you can go to recoveryreformation.org. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to email me, and you can do that to Chad at the way, the letter R, 122.org. God bless you until next time.
Two great books and one website. Visit scribingforeternity.org. There are two books that I would like to recommend you purchase. What they, meaning people who aren't Christians, other religions believe, and what we believe. Systematic Theology Made Simple. Both are great resources, especially if you plan on witnessing to somebody. scribingforeternity.org.
Are you just watching? You grab the popcorn, plant the family on the couch, and flip on the TV. But have you left your worldview behind? Media comes in all forms, and all of it contains some level of indoctrination. Are You Just Watching? The Entertained Christian's Handbook to Consuming Media with Purpose is a guided journal with worldview-shaping info and lots of guided note pages to help you watch and discuss anything you put before your family's eyes. Purchase it now on Amazon.com. And don't just watch.
And it's our show. This is your host, Keith, signing off, saying thanks for listening. I enjoyed having a live chat with Nathan again, and I hope you all did too. And hope with the school year back in session, we can do more like these. So stay tuned. And hey, you know what you can do? in a moment, Anthony Russo. He's going to tell you how to get a hold of us. You can tell us what you think of the show and maybe give us an idea of what to talk about in the upcoming episode. So that's all we got. And thanks for listening.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music on the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell on you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.